Hello again, Perf Bites listeners. It's Lucifer here, giving a big shout out to my good friends Mark and James for their continued coverage of the worldwide IT disasters and outages. There are times when I wish I could take credit for all those impressive crashes of ticket websites in the UK, Indian Airline sales promotions, aging rock and roll hipsters, and student test results. That one always gets me, because you know it's just that static content that they could cache in the CDN, right, dude? Come on. Anyway, love the work you guys are doing. Don't forget to send a pair of those Perf Bites shoes right after this week's edition of The News of the Damned.
Can you dig it?
Oh, so sad. So sad.
I think that's a voter hoser.
Yeah, that's exactly. I don't know. He's trying to show his support for a candidate in the 2016 election, and suddenly the website crashed.
Yeah, but you know, it's only candidate.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Stephen Harper didn't want you to vote anyway, eh?
Yeah, but he did, eh?
Hey.
Yeah, eh?
He's not in there, and he's out, eh?
Yeah, well, I need a beer.
Yeah, give me some back bacon. Speaking of bacon, eh?
Canadian bacon, which really ain't
that's not bacon.
No. All right. Welcome to the News of the Damned. We got to catch up for some lost time. You know, James, we were at Dynatrace without Howard, and we didn't even cover it, which is good because it's too much. It's too much fun. You know, we don't want to leave it.
So episode one is you need a beer hoser.
Say that in Canadian.
You need a beer hoser.
Yeah.
Hey. I need a oot or about or something in there. You know, something with a U. That we've thrown away.
A boot of beer.
A boot of beer.
A boat, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, a rush of voters crashed the Elections Canada website on Election Day. Now, Mark.
Is that all 18 voters?
Yes. One per province
one per
or
province.
Something. Wrong, Mark. But on every election cycle, have we not had failures on vote reporting systems on the air?
Yeah, I wonder.
I think we had one when we were in Denver that switched to Portuguese.
But I remember that. We talked about that at STPCon.
In Denver.
All 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah, it went down, and when it came back up, it was in Portuguese.
Yeah, I remember it was something like the Portuguese language characters are BR or something.
Yep.
Brazilian, yep. Right? BR. And BR's at the top of the language list, so I bet it just defaulted to the first one in the list. I mean, that's, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we have this situation of a very common event. We have a known point of load. We know when polls are going to close. We know the track record of interest.
Yep.
And so we have this collaborative set of information coming together of a lot of knowns.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Howard?
Do we have hanging chads too?
Boy, I really want to say something here involving Geraldo and Trudeau, but I think it would be vastly inappropriate at this point. see Geraldo Rivera's biography if you want more details on that one. It didn't involve chads, but you have all of these knowns. We have so many unknowns we have to deal with in performance testing. Here you have a lot of knowns.
You know everyone's going to vote around the same.
You know when people are going to vote. You know when polls are going to close. You know that people have an interest. You have a track record of people coming to the site and looking at it. You have this long string of failures in the industry of reporting website, reporting load testing results. And yet we still have a website that has gone down. Arguably, this is a government website, and you could make the argument that this was under the control of the previous administration.
Yeah.
And maybe this is why they lost. They can't even get a website to report election results.
Well, it was close enough for government work, you hoser.
Yeah, hoser.
Oh,
exactly.
Oh, you're getting awfully close to the site that we shall not speak of. And when we talk about close enough for government work, Howard.
Yeah.
So this did not change the outcome of the election, but what it did is it really encourages voter apathy. It encourages voter frustration. And in a time where we want higher voter participation, we want to get more information to the voters as quickly as possible, this works against that trend.
I wonder if we're going to see it'll be interesting, because some of the most highly technically capable sites using modern languages, I think about the whole Orca versus Narwhal thing from almost 4 years ago.
And you know what? They have not gone back and revisited that issue of trying to get that software to be performant.
Yeah.
And you know what's going to happen is the Republican Party is going to spend another N amount of money to try and get something in place in the 2 months before the election next time around.
Yeah.
Absolutely freaking stupid.
And the band that put Narwhal in one of their songs.
Can't even think about it.
Mark, the B-52s.
You're right. It was the B-52s.
Oh, yeah. That group of from Georgia with lots of hair.
Yeah, exactly. From Georgia, down south. Just
But you're right. I mean, so we should be able to figure out that if the reason the site crashed, because if it was a tallying site, this was the big thing for us, James, was if you're looking for a real-time update from precincts or municipalities or different jurisdictions, right?
Yep.
That you need some way to asynchronously load that index up and then query the index periodically, not on demand, not 100% synchronous, right? It has sort of an asynchronous way to load the query. But, you know, to be honest, people are gonna solve this problem with Splunk or something like that, because it's, again, a completely synchronous, asynchronous logging.
Even if you updated your election results once per minute and then pushed it at that point to your CDN.
Yeah.
You would solve this problem.
Yeah, this is a solvable problem, and people just haven't figured it out.
That's 60 queries an hour to your website and 100% cached on the front end. You would not have this issue.
No, I agree. And even if it's just even worse still, if it's just information, static data, where to go to vote, where the information is, where your precinct is, who your people are, you know, that's static content that should be 100% in the CDN. Why are these people taking on a website?
Yeah.
Because they haven't learned about performance north yet.
It's bad design. It's bad
design. Yep.
So let us go to episode 2, and I need to introduce this. Time ago, and in a galaxy far, far away, developers were still unable to produce ticket websites that could withstand the struggle of the Rebellion and the Empire. The Force was not strong with them. We believe their offspring now produce ticket systems for the United Kingdom. Clearly, we are speaking about the Star Wars trailer and the online ticket sales, which began for the first day of showing later this year.
Tickets are on sale already.
Tickets are on sale already. As soon as the new preview went live with a football game last week, not only were big online retailers like Fandango impacted, but every single ticketing website that was selling these tickets, not one was spared. This was an industry-wide problem associated with one event, opening day of Star Wars. This is analogous to Princess Kate wearing one article of clothing from every British fashion house all at once, and then having everybody go to those sites and crashing the entire British fashion industry.
Nice.
Yeah. So, how would Yoda have put it? Internet ticketing, dead it was.
Maybe we should sing
Boba Fett on them
or something.
Sing
Boba
Fett on
them. Yes.
I don't know how to respond to this. I mean, now, a couple years ago, I tried to get the logs associated with the site that we shall not name for the first 24 hours. I issued a Freedom of Information Act. And I think that may be the closest precedent we have for wide-scale point load, known point in time across a wide swath of society.
Well,
that's why I thought it would have been a great research tool for how these point load systems evolve and how load comes on the site.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I was not able to get the logs because by the time they decided to respond, the logs no longer existed, which is kind of foolish.
You know, if I look back on all the years that we've looked at, you know, some public fad announcement, and there have been a couple of like these that are just super popular things. Super Bowl is a perfect example, any of those things that are big events or big things everyone's waiting for, elections too. More and more, there was a little bit of time, and maybe we're giving the wrong message. Maybe we're chilling people a little bit. It used to be we would see more numbers shared around the performance. We expected about 10,000 people to show up on the site, and we saw about, 45,000 showed up, and that took out the site. We saw some quantitative numbers come out. You'd think these guys would be bragging about the fact that they took Fandango out because 75,000 people showed up to get tickets. I don't see any numbers in any of the stories from Fandango, and we've never had Fandango on the News of the Damned. Let me bring them up.
That's true.
Let me bring them up in GT Metrics here. Hang on.
So really, all these people went to get tickets for the first day, and they can't wait like a week when the crowds die down?
Well, I can wait for virtually forever, and it won't bother me one bit.
There you go.
Because
you can actually wait till you go to a galaxy far, far away.
I'm engaged in a personal protest against Lucasfilm.
Well, I'm querying the website from Vancouver, Canada, which is a long, long ways away. And I gotta tell you guys, just the homepage of Fandango.com, not even the shopping cart or the actual commerce experience, just the homepage, got a D from PageSpeed and a D from YSlow.
What's it doing? Loading the whole dang carousel?
Well, first of all, it took just from Vancouver, Canada, it took almost 5 seconds to load the page.
Is it like 2 megabytes or 3 megabytes in size? Or
4.22 megabytes in size.
Holy hot dogs.
Isn't that crazy? Some of the top e-commerce sites cap it at a meg. Some of the top sites we know cap it at a meg.
So wait a minute. You're not even hitting the CDN. You're going directly to Origin in Vancouver?
The GT Metrics node, the test server region, comes out of their facility in Vancouver. So the actual end client is in Vancouver. I'm not sure where they're actually located. It does say you might not be using a CDN, so my guess is they don't have a CDN at all, which makes no sense to me. So they may have a custom CDN. The things they're failing on are obviously optimizing images and image dimensions, so perhaps the marketing department did a big push for the campaign, special graphics on the front page. Why slow again? No expires headers, make fewer HTTP requests, use a CDN, use a cookie-free domain, reduce the DNS lookups, minify the JavaScript, and configure entity tags. If you guys don't know what I'm saying, that's an F and 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 an F. These are no-brainer things to fix. CDN is cost more money, but the other things are easy.
Wow.
And this is just not right. I mean, compress components with gzip. They don't even have compression turned on.
Holy crap.
They have a lot of redirects.
Every real browser says, I accept gzip compression.
Yeah, and they're not doing it. So I got to say, if just the homepage is an indication that Fandango deserved to go down, guys, I'm so sorry. This is easy to fix, and there are people out here who can help you. Just, make the call and figure out how to get some help, because you're still scoring a D according to these two industry standard tools.
And I would not be a bit surprised upon listening to this show if a dozen or more vendors call Fandango that day.
Yeah, go for it. Help them out.
Yeah.
That'll be nice. All right. Well, I for one, I was a child of the 70s, and I was a Star Wars freak. I had all the cards. I had pajamas. I had Star Wars freaking everything. And so I'm a little psyched for this one to come out because of the old meets new kind of aspect of it. Plus, apparently it's not as cheesy as there's no Jar Jar Binks. They didn't put in some cheesy, stupid thing for the kids.
I have Darth Vader pajama pants as well as other Star Wars pajama pants that have Boba Fett.
And you still wear them?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yes, I do. Where did my rule? I didn't bring
Oh my God.
I didn't bring any here with me. Well, maybe I did bring my Star Wars pajama pants here.
All right, that'll be nice.
Don't want to see.
Yes. And, of course, James, thanks again for the Starland Vocal Band reference from 1976, which is also around the same time that Star Wars came out.
As the original Star Wars.
Yes, exactly.
So now we go to Episode 3, titled His Airness Slams Dunk Web Servers.
You're going
to
confuse people if you say episode.
What's the third episode?
The third story.
The third story.
The third member of the News of the Damned Club.
Yeah, so
the third losers.
I don't know if any of you have been accosted by this video of Michael Jordan's house that's going around.
Oh, yeah, it's horrible. This is stupid.
I mean, it's a beautiful house. It's just outside of Chicago. It's for sale, $15 million. You can imagine it's a real narrow band of the market that's going to buy a $15 million house. So it's been sitting on the market for a while. And so the realtor who holds it had this innovative idea. Well, let's take a video of the property.
Okay, well, that sounds reasonable.
That sounds reasonable, except that you've now done this of a celebrity, and you have all this drive-by traffic that's like, oh, officer, could you please pull the body a little bit closer to the car so I can see? And that's exactly what happened. They were hosting the video on their own realty firm website.
Oh,
and then you have millions of Michael Jordan fans from all over the world who want to see how his airness lived in splendid luxury. And, Mark, what do you think happened there?
Boom goes the website.
Boom chakalaka jaka. Boom.
And that's where Boom Goes the Dynamite came from. It was the guy, it was a basketball thing where the guy's like, boom goes the dynamite. So boom goes the website is very appropriate.
Boom goes the website. That's
exactly right.
Yeah, yeah. And it didn't take too long for them to figure out, hey, we should move this video to YouTube.
So they crashed their own site.
Yeah, yeah. You know, best of intentions. You know, you got the road to hell paved with good intentions here. It certainly got a lot more visibility, a lot more eyes on it. I kind of doubt this is going to be their target market for who's going to buy a $15 million house when the video shows up all over YouTube.
Yeah,
what
better
way
to real estate agent know on something like this though?
Oh, I guess there are firms that specialize in taking videos of these high-end properties, and that's type of firm that was acquired in this
case. So
it wasn't
like Joe Blow's Century 21 come onto my website.
No. I mean, you're selling a $15 million house. You're a specialty firm. You got specialty clients.
Yeah, exactly. And I wonder if it's also people trying to scrape the video and bots of some sort, because there's also in the MLS listing and you post stuff, there's a lot of services that have crawlers and bots behind the scenes that are trying to grab that information, get in front of their customers. I think that the real estate agents are truly, and these guys, they all have bots that crawl stuff.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I think this was just a well-intentioned, and they had no idea the amount of traffic that was going to come. Because their website probably didn't get a whole lot of traffic on a worldwide basis. You do this, one share on social media, and then you're done.
I think the other part of the equation is that, real estate agents they really are super techie. Like, we're going to take videos, and I've seen people that like adopt the technology of like a fisheye lens, and then it distorts everything about the house, and then, oh, well, now we're going to do videos and shoot that kind of stuff. And it's a very DIY, low-budget kind of thing for a small real estate agent. And then, of course, the most easiest thing you could do, guys, is just use YouTube.
Yeah, in this case, it was very high production value. It was a professionally done video. There's no doubt about that, yeah. So, Howard, the last one, Episode 4...
Comcast says, no video on demand for you to parts of the West Coast.
Yeah.
It turns out this happened a couple of months back, but I just thought it was of note because we didn't discuss it before. But it turns out that our friends at Comcast had a little a little trouble on the West Coast from Seattle to San Francisco.
Really?
Yes, and they left their customers without the ability to watch their favorite videos on demand from the comfort of their own homes and their reclining chairs.
Well, that's so very interesting.
What was the root cause on this?
Well, according to the Comcast website, they had an unexpected shift in traffic that overloaded some of their DNS servers and a la DNS failure. Holy internet, Batman. How does a major ISP not have reliable DNS backups?
That's insane.
I think there's a lot of lessons to be learned in this. It's a least common denominator problem. It's not their infrastructure, so to speak, and it may not even be their DNS servers, especially if they have a company like Akamai or something that manages DNS for relocation of assets. It could have been someone else's DNS server, and the time to live or the cached DNS value downstream may have been too low.
So everything I've read, I can't argue that point, James. And everything I've read and everything I've researched on this, they really never said what the issue was, except for that "quote unquote" unexpected shift in traffic.
Yeah, because I have seen this when someone sets their time to live way too low on DNS caching, because that impacts all the downstream nodes that would cache the DNS information associated with a target. So if time to live is too low, that means almost every user is hitting your core DNS server for every single request. And that would easily overload a server versus someone that has, well, if a client has the DNS time to live held in their own client for a substantial period, they wouldn't have to re-inquiry. And also in all the intermediate nodes downstream. So, It's interesting, and I'm wondering if someone just stood up a new DNS server and turned off an old one or something.
This all goes back to the testing your infrastructure, right? And just testing your failover and everything else. So,
yeah.
Obviously, they didn't. Or if they did, I'm sorry, you did not do it adequately enough.
Yeah, and let's be honest. I got to say, ISPs, when there were more smaller ISPs that were run by individuals, There was this sort of grassroots, it's all on us and we have to know what we're doing. And DNS is one of those weird things that there's a lot of people that are like, oh, it's really hard and it's really complex. Just push this button and we'll take care of it. And I think we try to solve a very complex problem. And a lot of ISPs, like I know I change all of my default DNS stuff to point to Google DNS things and two other things from another ISP. Because my own ISP is like, one day I can't get to half of X, Y, and Z. It just doesn't resolve. I'm like, screw you. I'm going to cache four or five different DNS servers because somebody's got to get it right.
Yep.
DNS roulette.
DNS roulette, exactly. I have another one to throw at the end here, guys.
Go for it.
Are you ready for this? It's a little bit more risque. Did you see this one?
Waiting on bated breath.
Are you waiting on bated breath? I don't know that that's a good thing.
He said he's waiting on bacon breath.
Bacon breath, yes. So apparently in Hong Kong, here on the 23rd, there was a doll site, like something that makes dolls, right? A Hong Kong doll maker's site crashed today. Again, after the Manchester United's German middle fielder, German Bastian Schweinsteiger, threatened legal action over a Nazi figurine that bears a striking resemblance to him.
I read about this.
You read about this? It was a Nazi lookalike thing, and then they show a picture on this other website. I think it's another one of the UK websites. Shows a picture of the middle German himself, and it does. He looks exactly like this figurine, this thing. Well, of course, as soon as they're, when it comes to soccer, guys, when it comes to football, these fans are insane. So the minute this showed up, apparently people flooded the website trying to get a hold of it before they took it off the market because it'll end up being some crazy collector's item. Fanatical soccer fans trying to collect a Nazi doll.
For a football club headquartered in Manchester.
Yeah, yeah, which is seems a little odd, you know, given the history of who was on which side of the war, you know.
I wonder if that's going to wind up at the Barbie Museum.
Yeah.
The Klaus Barbie Museum.
Yeah.
Oh,
exactly. Oh.
Come on, rimshot there.
Yeah. So here's the funny thing, because it's coming from Hong Kong, right? So these are people in China and Asia who are said, you know, the company had previously denied that they created the dolls to look like any footballer, according to the German newspaper The Bild. Purely coincidental. The guy is quoted, Patrick Chan is quoted, "We thought all Germans looked like that."
I read that article. It was hysterical. You know, they also... they did it with a bunch of actors.
So you have people in Hong Kong saying, "You all look like this to us."
Well, yeah, I mean, and if they go, these things go for like $130 U.S. dollars, and so you figure these are serious collectible items. That's what the whole doll market is about. And of course, if you're marketing to people who don't understand what real Germans look like, and maybe they think it's from Raiders of the Lost Ark or old World War II movies, yeah, the guy looks like a. Like a German. He looks like, you know, like a German citizen. And so, of course, you're going to say, here's a doll, looks like a German. It's not the guy's fault that he looks like a German, but I fine, he's going to sue him. It comes with, it's about 30 centimeters tall. It's marketed as the World War II German Army Supply Duty Bastion doll. Costs around $130 U.S. Comes with multiple outfits, including a cap with the swastika symbol, a reversible winter jacket, wool gloves, and a steel helmet.
I could see, given the laws of Germany, how he would not want to ever be associated with that image, because there's a good chance that he could be prosecuted under mistake that he was complicit in the manufacture of that. But all of those symbols are outlawed in the country of Germany.
Yeah, if he might have to feel obligated, and I think rightfully so. Make a statement publicly, or make an overture, a rather grand overture, that, hey, I don't approve of this. On behalf of the history of my country, and we don't approve of that. And that, fine, sue him. But it's not about his likeness at that point. It's about the idea that maybe this is inappropriate. Hey, China. Hey, Hong Kong. Guys, knock off the Nazi collectible doll thing. That's, people are not really liking it.
You know, they also got... That same company, I believe, got in trouble because in that same article that you read, I read the article also, and they also have taken creative liberty with several American celebrities' faces on dolls too.
Yeah, they have likeness lawsuits, right? So there's, yeah, like, you know, this is
Matt Damon was one, I believe. There was another for Jack Nicholson. I forget all who they were.
Was Matt Damon some sort of astronaut stranded on a planet someplace?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah, yeah. It comes with a suit that when you decompress it, the doll explodes.
By the way, that was a really marvelous book. I haven't seen the movie yet, but the book was outstanding.
So, Mark, we have come to the end of another episode of The News of the Damned.
I know, it's kind of scary, isn't it? So, yes, welcome to the end of another wonderful full episode, seminar, teaching, learning of The News of the Damned. James, thanks for unearthing these wonderful stories that we continue to come up with. We'll give a shout out to our sponsor, Sosta, for being supportive of us. And everyone else who wants to be a sponsor, you know, you can call us up if you want to sponsor News of the Damned. We got some new ideas for new shows in 2016.
Yeah.
Come on board. We're having a good time. Yeah, exactly. What do you think the prediction is for the next political website to crash?
Well, we've had all the major announcements for people getting in. I think we can guarantee that as soon as we start receiving election results from precincts related to, you know, relating to the lead up to the elections.
Oh, there'll be primaries. I think we'll see a couple data test run in a primary.
Yeah, on the primary side of the house, we'll definitely see some.
We're the new public enemy number one anyways. Did you know that?
We are who? White guys?
White males, especially like in...
Howard, Mark, with all due respect, I am a southern white male.
Yeah, no kidding. We're like hated right now.
I thought you were transgender.